Thank you.
Okay, so as no one said no to the recording, as of now we are recording the call. So to recap what I was saying, we started looking in Hyperledger at how can we expand the number of working groups that we have up until now. Until now, there are 6 working groups that are more technically driven and focusing more on the technical aspects, like requirements, like working group that is focusing on architecture that just produced a white paper, and look at more of the verticals and industry-driven working groups. And the first instant vertical and industry or use case-driven working group that stood out for us coming from our community of communities was healthcare. So, coming from that healthcare working group through the mailing list was started, and Emily, you were the first person to volunteer to drive it, for which we are extremely grateful. But obviously, we didn't really want the working group just to be a gathering of people who sit and chat, because discussion is very productive and great, but it's great to have some goals. I really like a quote that I read somewhere, which is that goals are dreams with deadlines. And so putting deadlines on goals, on dreams, is something that that we wanted to do. So the goals and objectives of a working groups as we envision them, and I hope that we will have more than only the healthcare working group moving forward. We hope that we'll identify more verticals or more industries where we can set up those working groups, is to first start evaluating what is the state of the art of healthcare industry. So let's look at where we are. Let's start looking around where different companies are. How do we all apply blockchain in this industry? Do we have POCs? Is it too early to apply blockchain? Or maybe we already solved all of the problems with blockchain technology. Maybe there is no point in actually having a working group. You know, start asking the questions, start seeing where we are, and start taking notes. Write down what is happening. And why, once we started, once we're done with that evaluation, we will be able to identify, discuss, and analyze and prioritize the use cases. So produce some kind of a list of places where blockchain technology and blockchain frameworks can be applied. Off the top of my head, I can list doctor certification, prescription, patient records. There are so many things, and they may be tied together, but they absolutely might be completely separate. And there may be aspects where we already have those solutions, and maybe some of you already have POCs, and maybe some of you actually have those solutions in deployment. And because Hyperledger believes in working together in collaboration and really bringing the knowledge to a safe ecosystem rather than solutions that are developed in-house and in silos environment, that's why this working group has been created, so that we can share that knowledge in an open source environment. And obviously, we don't want to create this situation where you are selling or giving away your IP. So we want to make sure that everyone's comfortable sharing whatever they want. There is no pressure on sharing something that is your IP, but tell us what you feel comfortable telling us, and so we can brainstorm on something that can be beneficial to the whole industry. And maybe we can work on something that is beneficial something that we can all feed off and create something grand. And finally, we kind of thought of this kind the span of first 3 months as this phase of experimenting and evaluating and identifying, discussing, right? So to make that first goal, that first deadline on our dream. So the dream is, can we create a roadmap for the next year within 3 months? Can we create and find goals for the next year within the 3 months span? I'm not sure if with a group big like this, 3 months is enough. I hope it is. Maybe after 3 months, we will come back and say we need another 3 months. If so, maybe we will need more guidance. Maybe we will need more use cases. But let's try keeping the heartbeat. Let's not give ourselves the benefit or the privilege of being lazy and saying, we'll take a year off to discuss those things. I really would like to make sure that we have a very strong heartbeat. And then if you could switch to the next slide, Emily, sorry. Hello?
Oh. Seem to have lost Emily.
Are you there, Emily?
Hey, sorry about that. My Wi-Fi reset. Give me 1 second.
Okay.
Can you guys see this?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, great. So now, for the preferred outcomes after 3 months is to have reading material, to have the roadmap. But after the 3 months that we have the roadmap for the next year, we would love to see a plan of what does the working group produce. And what is the actual outcome of such a working group? It is reading materials, it is implementations. Implementations of use cases, of POCs, deployments. You know that Hyperledger is proud of producing reference code. So if we can implement reference code that provides solutions for healthcare industry, that uses the Hyperledger frameworks in healthcare industry, that would be amazing. You know, if we can use Fabric or Sawtooth or Airaha to do the prescript, to hold the prescriptions on a blockchain, that would be wonderful. But maybe use case definitions, really great, very precise description of use case definitions as the first step. That is also very valuable and something that can be very well used by the broader industry and something that we can publish. White paper that describes the scene, that is like the systematization of knowledge, also very important. Demos, something that we always lack and that's something that can be used at various conferences. And of course, maybe we'll decide that what we have today, as our the frameworks that we have within Hyperledger project or Hyperledger umbrella is not enough, that the projects we have are not sufficient, then maybe we'll need to go to the technical steering committee and we will propose a new framework that will be also very valuable. So these are the like something that I would be amazed if we could propose. So this is the rough outcome. Obviously, it is, as this is the first time we are working on an industry level working group, it is very flexible and we will see how it goes. For now, Emily came up with a very interesting concept of having presentations from various partners that already have some implementations from our community of communities. So I would pass it over to Richard. With that, to Robert, and see what has been already done.
Thank you, Marta. Yes, okay, so my name is Dr. Robert Panetta. I'm the Director of Pharma Solutions at BlockRx. And before we get started, again, I just want to give a big thank you to Emily, Kyle, and Marta for taking the initiative to launch and organize these virtual meetups. Very happy to be the first solution showcase for this, for what will hopefully be a series of many to come. And yeah, for everybody organizing the Hyperledger Healthcare as well, it's definitely greatly, greatly appreciated. So we could move on to the next slide. Do I have control or?
Yeah, so why don't I turn control over to you? How about that?
Okay. All right, great.
I'm going to stop my share. That way you can drive.
Yeah, let me just go ahead and share. Okay, everybody can see the screen? All right, great. Okay, so I'm going to be talking to you about our solution, the BlockRx pharma ecosystem, which was an initiative from iSolve, which is a Philadelphia-based consulting company. So before we go into the history of the project, hold on. Yeah, there we go. Yeah, we'll just explain what the BlockRx pharma ecosystem actually is. So first, it's as a blockchain, we're operating on the Hyperledger Sawtooth by Intel. We're using the BlockRx utility token for blockchain entries and data exchange, so it is incentivized. And we use Advanced Digital Ledger Technology, which is a software from iSolve, which I'll explain shortly, to integrate legacy systems with the blockchain. So we've had spent a few years, probably since 2015, talking to different pharma companies and various use cases, ranging from R&D, supply chain, post-marketing surveillance, clinical trials, intellectual property acquisition, all the way to direct patient interaction. So we are mostly pharma drug manufacturer focused with a crossover to healthcare. And how we got here was in 2014, iSolve was spun off from GPMS, which was a parent company that was consulting for a wide variety of industries. And they were getting enough requests from pharma to justify their own pharma specialist company. And in 2015, they married some of the knowledge they were getting from the financial world, where they were talking about Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies and just general blockchains, and started presenting it to pharma companies. That eventually led in 2016 to the creation of the BlockRx project, which aimed to bring interested parties within the pharma supply chain and pharma manufacturers to create study groups and develop use cases. So this led to, right now we're partnered with I think a couple of dozen pharma companies, as well as consulting firms and solution providers, which led to the development of the ADLT software. And this year, things really started to take off, where we solidified our partnership with Intel, as well as Your Encore, who's a major solution provider in the pharma space. We also realized in talking to a lot of the pharma industry that to implement this and get a lot of the solutions they want to, since this is very disparate, you're getting a lot of parties at the table, it would have to be incentivized with a token. So we're having our token offering this year in September. We should be going live with our first pharma use cases around Q3 or Q4 of this year, so we're pretty excited about that. And that will lead in 2018, the lessons that we learned from those use cases, to actually get the BlockRx Pharma ecosystem up and running. And we will also introduce the BlockRx Patient app, which, like I said, we're manufacturer focused, but they recognize the need to get patients involved. So this is going to be a medium by which patients will be able to participate in an industry-focused blockchain. So I think there are two key use cases in pharma that kind of jump out as saying these would be great for blockchain. That's looking at the drug supply chain as well as patient support. Now, in the drug supply chain, where the industry has some blind spots, as it were, is in data visibility. So you have this huge global network of pharma trade partners that can't view internal and external product data. This is due to a variety of reasons. Some of it's technical. Good part of it is regulatory. Another good part of it is cultural. But you just have a plethora of systems that just will not communicate with each other. The second factor is regulations. I think, as we all know, we're involved in healthcare and pharma. This is a business defined by regulation. In particular, you have track and trace legislations have been introduced in most countries. In the US, it's the Drug Supply Chain Security Act. And the industry right now is not prepared, and compliance is quite costly. And the reason they're not prepared is this visibility issue that they're facing. And the third problem is traceability. That's just be able to track the provenance and establish provenance of their drugs. So what DSCSA in particular is mandating is you need to pick, if somebody grabs a pill off the shelf, any pill, you should be able to go through the entire supply chain and tell me not just who touched it, but exactly which batches of raw material went into making that drug. And again, because of the visibility issue that there's no communication, that's pretty much impossible at this stage. So we think blockchain can help out a lot there. And the second use case is in patient support. So patient engagement has been recognized by industry, government players, pretty much across healthcare as key to bridging gaps in drug development, clinical trial recruitment, drug safety, and also the opioid epidemic. So if you're interested in public health outcomes, in our white paper, we quote a great paper looking at how patient engagement could help alleviate the opioid epidemic that is happening in the States. Also, cost is a huge issue for patients. As right now, the average patient is struggling to maintain a balance between healthcare costs and effective outcomes. And this isn't just reserved for the United States. This is a global phenomenon where healthcare costs are rising everywhere. In other places around the world, like in my case, I'm based in Canada, it's not affecting me directly in the wallet, but it does affect me in the public coffers. If we're spending more on healthcare, that's less that we could spend on education, on taking care of the roads, on snow removal, etc. And the third problem is with privacy. There are very strict data privacy laws, HIPAA in the US, Europe has very strict data privacy laws, and the price for non-compliance is extremely high. This is both in the forms of fines, as well as the market costs that you're going to pay if you accidentally leak patient data. Okay, so we're planning to tackle this with the BlockRx Pharma ecosystem. And there are three technical parts to the stack that make up the ecosystem. First is the Hyperledger Sawtooth by Intel. Now, we chose Sawtooth because first, we obviously need to support smart contracts. We also need a modular platform because there's going to be no one-size-fits-all solution for any company. People are facing different issues. Companies might have different requirements as well, so they need to be able to build up the system that they require. Also need it to be high performance, permitting a large number of transactions. We have 100,000 transactions per day here. I think they mentioned 1,000 transactions per second, which is about the right frequency that we've seen from our partners. And it also needs to support digital tokens in order to incentivize the system. And we're going to explain why the system has to be incentivized later on. The second branch is the Advanced Digital Ledger Technology, which was developed by ISOL. And this integrates legacy systems with the blockchain. So you could use any ERP, any data streaming from any IoT device, or any digital record can be placed on the blockchain. Then we'll be data agnostic. So you don't have to buy a particular sensor to get onto the blockchain. And the third component is the BlockRX digital token. So this is to incentivize participation by the trade partners. So by trading in the token, you could offset the burden of remaining compliant, as well as incentivizing patients. I mean, I think in healthcare, we all recognize the importance of getting patient data. It's one thing to say that we require patient data. It's another thing to actually go out and get that patient data. So by incentivizing patients to share their data, we think it's going to be easier. So the way the drug manufacturing process works now, so this is just on the manufacturing side, is you start with your active pharmaceutical ingredient manufacturer that takes raw materials and eventually turns it into the main ingredient. They ship it off to production, who manufactures the pills, then a packager who packages it all up, that sends it off to market. And the way it works now is they work in bulk. You get batches. So you prepare a large batch of raw material that eventually makes its way through the chain. Now, anytime there's any sort of a change, so if you take your bulk API and turn it into a pill, obviously that's going to change the serial number. Take my mouse off there. So you change, or if you take your raw material and change it somehow, if you add a methyl group to it, then all of a sudden you have to give it a new identification number. Now, because these are done in large batches and they're transporting from company to company, you lose information. So by the time you cut the market and you pick up package E501, there's no way to tell that it may have been made with key intermediary B202, at least with the way things work now. So that's what we're talking about with provenance. So if there's a problem in the market with this package, there's no way for the packagers, the production, or the API manufacturer to figure out which batch it actually came from, which batch is really causing the problem. So we're designing the BlockRx Pharma ecosystem to manage the drug supply chain. So the previous schema that I showed you earlier was all the manufacturers. They're all folded up in here, but it includes manufacturers, your third-party logistics, who do the shipping, a wholesaler, your pharmacies, as well as the patients. With a digital ID key, we'll give them permission to enter the blockchain, to enter register entries onto the blockchain. And with a digital token, we'll be able to pay for data coming back and forth, either receive token to place data onto the blockchain or give token to purchase data. And I think on one podcast where I heard somebody was asked, can you define blockchain in 10 words or less, saying it's a chain of blocks. That's exactly what the blockchain will do. So if you have your initial product, your API is A101, anything it gets turned into, A101 is going to be linked to B201, and so on and so forth. So by the time the pharmacy picks up E501, if they need to tell the manufacturers there's something up with it, the manufacturer will be able to tell exactly which batch it came from throughout the entire supply chain. It will also leave a fingerprint saying who actually touched E501 throughout the chain. So this is what we have been building with Intel and our drug supply chain partners. Now, why are we incentivizing it? Okay, so like I said, we're using the BlockRx token functionality. So pharma companies and patients must acquire the token either from an exchange or from our reserve. This will permit them to interact with smart contracts, to work out their smart contracts, to place data or look at data and participate just in any ecosystem and reward programs. So this incentivizes people to actually interact. So if the manufacturer wishes to get data from the wholesaler because they want to see what's happening to their pills after they go off, well, they will send a smart contract with a certain amount of token to the wholesaler, and the wholesaler will give them the right digital key in order to gain access to that data. At the same time, on the patient end, they can use their token in exchange for reducing their healthcare costs, participating in other patient programs, getting better accessibility to participate into clinical trials, et cetera, et cetera. So all in all, we're using the token in order to incentivize trusted partners to join and interact with the blockchain and hopefully make it into a very, very vibrant community. We have identified five key benefits of utilizing the BlockRx token. The first is the actual token value. As it gets used by trade partners, then you can hopefully reduce your operational costs. Second is regulatory readiness. By leveraging the token, you could get disparate systems and organizations to actually integrate properly and integrate their regulatory deliverables. So hopefully you could get submissions are better streamlined. Reducing the time to market, because hopefully with the blockchain and by using the token, you can reduce the time that you spend on operational, administrative, and deployment tasks to expedite your business. Then decrease operational expenditures, which is pretty much the same thing as time to market, and gain patient-level data. As patients will be participating and gaining tokens, companies will have access to more patient data, which will help them understand the patient and improve outcomes. So if we identify the participants for the blockchain, first we have suppliers will greatly benefit from understanding the status of their inventory and their active pharmaceutical ingredients, as well as gain traceability. So they'll actually see what happens to their product. Third-party logistics will gain what all third-party logistics want, which is greater visibility into their process to help reduce redundant overhead costs. The trade partners, so these are the pharma companies who are trading amongst themselves, will get greater visibility into brands and products and can help offer rebates and reduce payment time. Then you can get your data providers who can customize, package, and secure information to help support cost reduction from operations and inventory and potentially sell this across the chain. And lastly is patients, with incentive programs may be offered and managed through BlockRx, thus allowing for mutual benefits and savings. And the overall benefits for the trusted participants, so this is going to be the pharma companies themselves, is, well, you get a view into global inventory data. You get a view of patient level data. This gives you a view of improved outcomes. So this way you can help develop more refined solutions. You could actually see where things are going wrong in the supply chain. Another issue is in the recall process. Right now, recalls are quite messy and broad-based. It's like almost using a shotgun to kill a fly. So if you have provenance, once this is established throughout the supply chain, the recall process is potentially improved with improved traceability. On the business side, you can use smart contracts to reduce payment terms as settlement identification is executed on the blockchain, is something that's done pretty routinely in other industries right now. And you could establish better and stronger partner collaborations. Okay, now the last bits, this says services provided by iSolve, but this is actually services that can now be provided by the service providers of pharma, which is a lot of these are things that do not exist in pharma right now. They could start offering software as a service. Obviously, get better visibility into global inventory, better recall management, global traceability. Something else that's brand new is data as a service. I think there are people who have been talking about this in healthcare and pharma for a while. Within the pharma manufacturers, this does not exist. So this could be a new branch of economics for them. And lastly, data acquisition. Okay, so that's all I have. I hope it didn't get too repetitive at the end. I'll be happy to entertain any questions you might have, which there are already a few. Okay, so I'll try to get to these now. Okay, so Mark McDuff asked, how would you describe this as being different from HIE in terms of benefit of sharing data between partners? Okay, I'm going to display my big ignorance here. What does HIE stand for?
That's the Health Information Exchange. It's okay. a regional type of data exchange that is set up in a clinical environment for sharing patient data or claims data. And they typically tend to be regionally organized or organized around a provider system.
Okay, great. All right. Thank you, Emily. Okay, so this differs from that as it is global and it's centered on the pharmaceutical drug supply chain. So rather than having full patient information, what you get is the pharma companies themselves will be able to gain visibility into the healthcare system. As it stands now, they don't have this. So very often when people are taking their drugs, you either have to initialize a whole new clinical trial, which requires recruiting patients, and there's a whole bunch of issues associated with that. Very often many clinical, especially post-market clinical trials, don't get completed just because they can't get the number of people. So this will help. This is where I think it differs from HIE in that respect. It's also global. It's not just going to, so it's not necessarily regional and it's not coming from grassroots. This is a company will be able to mark what's happening, let's say in a hospital in California, could be related to an API manufacturer in Singapore. Okay. Are tokens connected, transformed into actual currency, not crypto? At what point? So the way we have the tokens, try not to spend too much time on this, but they will be ERC tokens at the start, and they will be swappable into tokens that could be used on the Hyperledger contract. So they will stay as crypto. If they want to be converted into currency, we still have to look into ways of doing that. I think for now we're going to stay on the exchanges. The tokens be sold publicly. Okay, so for anything to do with the actual ICO for that, just go visit our website. We'll have information there. Okay, so why Sawtooth Lake? We got together, so Sawtooth Lake was we think it was a great partner. And to be honest, for pharma, they do require a very established name. So by partnering with Intel, this gives lots of great inroads into pharma, to be honest. That's one crude way to put it. But overall, I think it's a basic platform that meets all of our needs. I mean, we can't build it onto Ethereum because they're having a big scaling issue. And this is, you know, it's still where we're basing this, you know, this is a blockchain for industry, and that's exactly what Sawtooth is. Okay, so what is the governance model? Who controls, who has permission to join, leave the network? So this will be controlled by the pharma companies. So we're going to try to let this happen organically amongst themselves, and they will come up with their own governance rules. Okay, from Merrick, 100K transactions per day. Well, not if you do batch transactions, then it's something that you could fit. So Merrick is asking, yeah, isn't 100K transactions per day way too little performance for a hopeful perspective of wider usage? So yeah, you could have, for example, some will talk about up to 10 million transactions per day in the pharma supply chain. But we can batch them all together. Usually they are happening in batches that you'll have, okay, there's 10 million, but a million of those are happening in one shot. Okay, my question is if when you plan to share your solution source code to public. That was Adrian Saj asking that. I'm very sorry for the mispronunciation. So we won't be putting the entire solution source code to the public, unfortunately. So ADLT is a proprietary software. Okay, what about drug manufacturing on blockchain? So that is what our solution is. So don't know if you require further elaboration. You could go over to our website or just ask a more detailed question down below. All right, so Aaron Szymanski is asking a good question. How do participants protect information about their business model from their competitors if they are both supporting the same chain? So this is where smart contracts and being able to, using cryptography to protect your information. So it's not going to be open, naked information going out onto the chain. You can protect it with cryptography for one, and you dictate which information is going to be going onto the chain. And you can also dictate who's going to see it as well. Okay, how do you authenticate the identities of participants to ensure only authorized users can access the network? That's going to be happening through a public access key. Again, I just want to tell you, I wish I could go into further detail on that, but I am on the pharma side. My background is in drug manufacturing. So I can't answer that right now. But if you want to, feel free, you could come on to Slack or Telegram and ask our technical guys there. Okay, Jim is asking, since you are using BC in the manufacturing process, will this can be compliant to CFR Part 11 rules? Yes, we're going to have to be. Okay, MK Allen is asking a follow-up to the block size question. Are you making the blocks large to handle the blocks then? How does batching them make the throughput any easier to handle? Because once you batch them and you put them through a SHA-256, then as far as the blockchain is concerned, it's just another, string of characters. So it does make it easier to handle in that regard. Okay, for patients to see, so Jad Mubaslat is asking, for patients to see reduced costs from holding BlockRx token, would that rely on the payer accepting BlockRx token as a payment method essentially? Yes, so that would be there unless they're able to take their token and exchange it for money that they could then put towards their healthcare costs. Okay, so does anybody have any other questions? All right, there we go. Emily's asking, are you working with existing pharma consortia? We are working with existing pharma companies. One of the data sharing problems is the fact that they don't like sharing any information. So we're going to be announcing partnerships as they come on board and once they're prepared to actually go public.
Thank you, Robert. Thank you for answering my question. Cool. Well, I definitely appreciate you, being our first solution showcase for the virtual meetup. And I think this is a really cool project. I remember kind of seeing you guys at Distributed Health, and it's really great to see how far you guys have come. So, and thank you for, kind of being our guinea pig here too.
Great. Thank you, Emily. No, the pleasure was mine. Thanks a lot for hosting this. And like I said, I'm looking forward to seeing how Hyperledger Health is going to evolve and seeing future solutions.
Thank you. And for everyone on the call, we will be sharing these slides afterwards. So you'll be able to kind of go back through that. I think there was a lot of really valuable information, especially around, you know, how you guys are looking at the track and trace solution. I know this is a very popular use case from where I sit as well. So we have about 7 minutes left of our allotted time. And I think that's probably a good amount of time to give you guys an idea of what to expect next. We have two meetings scheduled, one on September 19th and the other in October, always taking place on the third Tuesday of the month. And we will continue scheduling them out. The reason for only doing three was to get a sense of how much participation we would get, and really where the concentration of those participants are. And so once we have enough data to kind of really estimate that, then we'll plan it out more. But you can bet that it will be on this day around this time, either morning or noon. We'll try to make it easy for people. So. And then, as Marta mentioned, we want to get to a point where, as a group, we can develop some theses around how we want to apply blockchain to healthcare. And so, as we go through this virtual meetup process, it's our intention to run surveys in parallel, where we will send surveys afterwards to collect information and feedback from the group, and we'll publish the results to everyone. And the purpose of the survey is to really get a sense of how effective the content is and what the opinions are of the group, and to try to collect that in a way that makes sense given how many of us there are and the fact that that is an ever-growing number. So I am absolutely, you know, I'm an open book. So if you have suggestions for how to, tweak the surveys or the meetup, please just email it to the working group, and I will see that, and so will the others that are helping manage this, and we can take that into consideration. I mean, really, we wanted to get this stuff on the books, and we wanted to start having these so that we could start this conversation, and so there's not as much. We're not as rigid on the structure as it may seem. I really am open to any feedback for how we can make this effective for everyone. So I will be sending out the first survey after today, along with an example of a survey the first survey that I think this group ran, which was one that Kyle put together. So I'll share that with you guys so you can get an idea. And we'll also share the slides from today. And I believe I sent out in an email yesterday a link to nominate startups or projects or research that could be showcased the way Robert showcased for us today. There's really not, I don't want to put a lot of criteria on it. I want to see what's out there. I only ask is that if you want to nominate someone but you don't have the ability to contact them, or you don't have a connection and can make that happen, that you refrain from submitting that, because it could create a lot of work for me to chase down someone that we don't have a connection with. I would prefer for the people presenting to actually be subscribers to the list or members of Hyperledger. So we don't have anyone slated for the next meetup, and that is September 19th. Which is going to be a really, really interesting time, I'm sure, given the amount of exciting healthcare conferences that are going on, as well as some of the token offerings like Robert's. So I guess with that, I think we can wrap it up, and you guys can look out for a follow-up email from me, and please do give me feedback on how we can make this fun and exciting. And thank you all for spending an hour with us today. Really excited about keeping this conversation regular and informative.
Thank you, Emily.
Thank you, Emily. And if no one else shows up for the next meetup, I would suggest, maybe because I don't know all of you, maybe Adrian, I know that you have an interesting use case and interesting ideas. So If you want to present, then maybe you'd like to present. I mean, Adrian Gropper.
Is Adrian on the call?
I saw him earlier, that's why I mentioned it, but well, we can take it offline as well. In any case, thank you everyone for participating. I'm excited that this community is so big, and I'm looking forward to working with you all.
Thank you. This was a great kickoff.
Thank you all.
Yeah, thank you very much. All right, have a good afternoon, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.